I feel many of us have probably asked ourselves. And it's simply, why didn't God answer my prayer? This is a really tough and at times almost impossible question to answer because there's a lot of things in it that are so unknown. Yet whenever I get this question, my heart kind of breaks a little bit because the person that's usually asking it is going through something or has gone through something that's been painful and tough, and they're usually angry or upset, and they're earnestly asking, why didn't God answer my prayer? Because what I went through hurt, and I didn't understand, and I was confused, and I just simply wanted an answer. And usually when they ask that question, they're either questioning their faith at that point or have already moved past it and said, I don't want to be a part of this because of what I had to go through. I myself, at one point in my life, asked that same question and decided that I didn't want to have anything to do with God for a while. And even though I still believe that there was a God, I said, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to believe what he teaches because he didn't answer a prayer that I had. And if we're being honest, like I said, most of us have probably asked that question at some point. Maybe not audibly, maybe not out of pain, but just really wondering, God, how come you didn't answer that prayer? Because it was important. It was something that meant a lot to me. So why didn't you answer it? If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Mark 11. That's where we're going to start at. Like last week, we're going to be jumping to several different verses and jumping around to different places. All the references are going to be should be in your notes, though, and I'm going to have them up on the screen. So if you're like, I don't want to flip back and forth, they're up there. But as I said, answering that question of why didn't God answer my prayer is nearly impossible to answer. There are so many pieces of it that are unknown, but the biggest reason is we don't know God's mind. He has so much more thought into things that we can even imagine. He sees way beyond anything that we can see, and most of the time our focus, our sight, is very limited to the here and now, and maybe just a smidge ahead, and that's it. Whereas God will know what's going on way beyond than we can imagine. And so, we are still stuck with that question, why didn't God answer my prayer? But in Scripture, we can see and we can go through things that even though we can't answer that specific question to each individual person, why didn't God answer this prayer or that prayer or this one over here, we can look through Scripture and we can see things that matter to God when we pray. And there are important elements that when we are praying that we should be thinking about and should be considering. Now, this is not a guide to the perfect prayer to get answered, but it is a guide for us to understand what goes into prayer. What is the things that matter to God when I am praying to Him that I need to know about? And by knowing what matters to God, we can begin to understand or see why some prayers may or may not get answered. So starting in Mark 11, verses 24 and 25. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. So most people like to stop at verse 24. Ask for it and you will get it. And this is part of where some of the confusion comes from when people are going, why didn't God answer my prayer? Because here it says that if I ask for it, I will receive it. But they don't want to read ahead. They don't want to read the next part. They don't want to read the pieces that are around it. And so we have this expectation set where it's going, if I ask for it, I will receive it. But then you have to add in verse 25, and this is where things get more complicated than just ask and receive. And when you are standing when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. When we pray, we have to forgive so that we ourselves can be forgiven. Think about that for a moment. For God to forgive us, we ourselves have to be in a place where we can forgive others. We have to forgive them of the things that they have done to us, intentional or unintentional, the things that they have done against us, the grudges that we hold, the pieces where we have to go, this person has hurt me and I'm not sure if I'm ready to forgive yet. Forgiving is a part of our repentance. We ask God to forgive us the atrocities that we have against God, the things that have separated us from him. We're saying, will you forgive us? And he says, yes, I will, but at the same time, you have to forgive what has been done against you. We don't often equate God saying, you know what, if you want this to happen, I'm willing to give it to you, and it's right here, but if you're asking me to forgive you, you have to be willing to forgive others. And so forgiving is it's a part of repentance, and if we choose to not do this or refuse to do this, then we ourselves cannot be forgiven, which means that we don't have a relationship, a true relationship, if we're not forgiven, if we have not taken that step. Because to have this true relationship with God, we have to be fully repentant of our sins. And a part of that repentance is forgiving others. So if we're not willing to forgive others, then we have not yet entered into a true relationship with God. And if we're not in a true relationship or working towards that relationship, then why would God answer our prayers? If we're holding out saying, you know what, I want all that you have to give, but I don't want to do, why would God say, then I will grant you what you ask? When we pray, one of the things that really matters to God is our relationships with others. Our relationships with others matter to God. And when we pray, how we stand in relationship to others, how we stand in relation to them, it affects our prayers. If we pray for peace but are causing turmoil in somebody else's life, God isn't going to give us peace. If we pray for forgiveness but are willing to or unwilling to forgive, why would God forgive us? 1 Peter 5:7 says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is equal. She is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Gentlemen, take note. If your wives are upset with you, God says you're on your own. No, give honor to your wife. Treat her with understanding. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Our relationship with others matter. Our relationship with our spouse, with our family matters, with our friends, with our coworkers. Every relationship we have with somebody matters. Are we going to be perfect in this? No. This doesn't mean every time you go to pray that you have to call everybody in your phone list saying, hey, are things good between us? Because I got to send a prayer to God right now. That's not what this means. But we know in our hearts, we know when we have wronged somebody. We know when we're not in good standing with somebody and we have to either go apologize and ask for forgiveness from them. We also know when somebody has wronged us. And we have to forgive them. We know those instances. Now, there are times where we may do something unintentional and later find out, but We also know that when that happens, we have to ask for forgiveness. If we've done something where unintentionally have slighted somebody, not knowing it, and we later find out, we know that's a spot where we got to say, hey, I'm sorry. That's not intentional. I wasn't thinking, or I simply didn't know. But at the same time, when we find that out, that is something that we should be pursuing after. These things are, they matter to God. How we treat others, how we have that relationship with them, our feelings toward them matter to God. But it's not just our relationship with others that matter. There's more to it. Our intent when we pray plays into it as well. When we're asking or praying for something, our motives matter to God. Our motives when we are praying, what we're praying for. What is your heart when you go to pray? What is your attitude when you go to pray to God, asking for something, praising something, humbling yourself before God? What is your motive? James 4:3 says, when you ask, or when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. What is it that's motivating you to pray? What is the reason you're praying to God? If you're praying for strength, why are you praying for strength? Is it so that you can get through something and say, hey, look at me, look what I got through. This is about me. Or are you praying for strength for yourself or for somebody else to say, hey, this is tough and I need help. And I know the only way I can get through it is because of you, God. And I know that through it, you're going to be glorified. Through my suffering and what I have to walk through, give me the strength to get through it so that at the end I can say, I only got through this because of God. And I can point others to you. As a church, when we're praying for the possibility of two services, is it for the recognition of the church to say, hey, this is what we're doing? Look at us. We're doing stuff new. We got people coming. Look how awesome we are. Is it because of our worship team, so we're going to glorify our worship team? Is it because we have an absolutely amazing pastor who's better than everybody else? Or is our motivation to pray to God, hey, is this something you want us to do? Is it because we want to reach those that are lost? We want to make room for those who the world has said, we don't want you. So we can say, God does. What is our motivation when we pray? Are we checking our heart every time we go to God saying, is this for me? Is this for my prideful, selfish self? Or is this something that is going to be used to glorify God? Is this going to be something that points others to Him? Are we praying for ourselves and only what we want? Or are we praying for the kingdom, the things that God wants? Proverbs 16:2 says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Our motives matter when we pray to God. And even if it's simply in our prayer saying, God, I want to make sure that this isn't for me. I want to make sure that this is something that's going to go to glorify you. It's going to honor you. To make ourselves simply a vessel that receives God's glory only to glorify Him. And then the what and how we believe has an impact on our prayers as well. Your faith matters to God. What you believe and how much you believe in God matters. If your motives are selfish and your heart with and your heart is clear, then do you fully believe God will do the work that you're asking him to do? Do you fully believe that God will work in the situation that you're bringing to him? Look what James 4:3 has to say. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. If you're confident that Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you are confident that you are his child, then be confident that God will do the work that you're asking. That God will work in that situation. That you will receive what you're asking for. Don't treat God like a wishing well or a last-ditch effort. The approach of, well, let's give this a try, see what happens. Or, I've got nothing else, so I guess I'll pray. Your faith should never be, well, let's see if this works attitude. It should always be, God's got this. God's got this. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's got this. I knew a pastor in Kansas City. His name was Denzel Ball. And he was an extremely fearless prayer. And what I mean by that is, if you were having a conversation with him and you were talking with him about things that were going on in your life, or you know, just any kind of situation, and he felt that it needed prayer, he didn't even wait for you to go to the end of a sentence. He just started praying. The first few times he did it, it was really weird, because I'm like, I wasn't finished, but okay. But then once you understood his heart, he had this confidence saying, why wait? There's no reason for us to wait to take this to God. If this is something that needs to happen, or if this is something that God needs to work in, let's do it right now. And it was never an attitude of, if you have time, God, or if God can do this. It was simply, God, I know you can do this. Work in this situation. He had this confidence in his faith. Whenever he prayed, he made sure that you knew that God had it. Even if you doubted, he didn't. And he would even say, here's the deal, if you doubt, okay, but I know God's got this. So if you need to borrow confidence, borrow mine. Matthew 9:29, first part of 30, it says, then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith will it be done to you. And their sight was restored. According to your faith, it will be done. Not according to your wishful thinking, not according to your hopeful thinking, but according to what you believe God can do. Our faith matters when we pray. If we are not confident that God can do it, why are we praying? If we are not confident that God can work in every situation, why do you believe that he can save you from your sins? These are questions that you should be asking if you're going, I don't know if God can work in this. And I know it seems harsh and it seems rough, but if you fully believe that God has died on the cross and saved you from your sins, you should fully believe that God can work within every situation. No matter how big, no matter how small, God can work within it. But above all, when we pray, we have to be praying with what God wants in our mind, with what God desires. When we're praying, above all else, it's God's will that matters. When we pray, are we praying for our will or for God's will? Are we praying for what we want done, the things that we think would be most correct, or are we praying that throughout it all, no matter what, it's what God wants? First John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. When we pray to God and ask according to his desires, according to his will, what he wants done, we will receive it. When it's in line with what he knows to be the truth, what he knows to be, it will happen. If we are serving God and being obedient to him, our prayers should reflect his will, should reflect his desires. And when we continue to seek after God and are pursuing him through scripture, through prayer, through worship, through all of our being, our hearts and our minds will be transformed so that our desires are the same as his desires. That when we seek God, we are seeking his will above all else. And when we pray, we need to be seeking out what that is. And Jesus gave us this example when he prayed in the garden. He sat there sweating blood because of the stress and the anxiety of what he knew was going to happen. This is Luke 22, 42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, he stated his personal desire. He said, if at all possible, I don't want to go through this. I don't want this to happen. I don't want to go through this suffering, through this pain. I don't want to die. But I'm going to do what you ask of me, God. I'm going to do what you know to be the best. I'm seeking your will, not mine. I'm here to serve you, not myself. Not my will, but yours. It is God's will that matters most when we pray. Because when we pray for his will to be done, we are praying for something far greater than anything we could ever ask for. Something that will have an impact far greater than we could ever know when we pray for his will to be done above all else. For us to be able to do all of these things, to make sure that we're in the right relationship with everybody, that our standing with them is good, asking for their forgiveness, offering ours, to have the right motives, the confident faith, and to be able to truthfully pray for God's will to be done, there's something we have to have. Something that really, truly matters, and without it, the rest of it's not possible. We have to have an honest relationship with God through Christ. If we don't have an honest relationship with God, or truly seeking out that honest relationship and pursuing after him, our prayers will not be answered. John 9:31 says this, "We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will." Our prayers are rooted in our relationship with God. If we think of God as a wishing well or something that we can just toss up to him for our prayers, then we're going to get that same response that we get from a wishing well at a mall, which is nothing. But if we pursue God, if we seek his will, not being selfish, but with a servant's heart, pursuing after what he wants, we're going to get the same response that a loving father gives a child. Pursue God through prayer by doing and praying about what matters most to God. Because if it matters to him, it should matter to us. And if it matters to us, it's definitely going to matter to God. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are amazing and awesome. And so many other words that we could try and describe about you, God. And in those moments when it's not clear what's going on, and we have prayed for something, and we have brought our requests to you, we laid them before your feet, and they seem to go unanswered, God. That you would help us to examine ourselves. Is there something that we're missing within ourselves? A wronged relationship. A wrong motive. Is there doubt within our hearts that you can do what we're asking, God? Or is it simply not part of your will, God? And we don't understand that. We don't see that. God, I just ask in those moments that you would show us. And if whatever we were asking wasn't part of your will, God, that you would reveal to us what your will is. To help us work through those moments where we are confused, upset, hurting. That you'd show us your heart. That you'd show us the things that you have in mind ahead for us, God. And in those moments that you would bolster our faith for us. And help us see that even though a prayer may not have been answered, or may not have been answered in the way that we like, God, that you'd help us to remember how much you truly love and care for us. Have something far greater than we could ever imagine when we're praying for your will to be done, God. God, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.